Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Turn with me to the book of Luke. We'll be there just for a few moments. And you know, I've found, as I have gradually grew older in my life, there's a tendency to compare or back in my day. And I used to think, the old folks used to say that, and now I hear myself thinking about that every now and then and saying those very words. And it's usually with a thought of how much better it was back then. And I think some of you can relate with that. And such as we came home when the street lights came on. There's no cell phone or anybody tracking us throughout the day. Kids seemed to be tougher back then. There was no pads, or we played tackle football with no pads and no pads riding the bicycles and or skateboarding and different things like that. Kids weren't spoilt as bad as we all used the equipment out of the green duffel bag. At baseball, it wasn't no $500 bat per kid, and different things like that. We didn't have all our own gear, and so you look back, and it's easy to think, well, things were better. You know, many of us were taught to work at an early age, and also to get outside more than just hanging indoors like many do. And there was no such thing as everybody getting a participation trophy. Chuck's with me this morning. But the winner walked away with a prize. And I remember growing up when it was a baseball game, the winner got to go get a free snow cone and the losers got nothing. Yet both the winner and the loser had to learn how to deal with it, how to win properly and also how to lose properly. And so some of those things. But some of the things we see today perhaps are improvements that better serve the safety of our kids. Because many of us got some knots on our heads that we could have avoided if we'd had a helmet on. Many other things that perhaps happened to us could have been avoided. And especially in the world that we live today, you just can't leave your kid and let the kid run around because of the way the world is shaped. I understand the changes that had to be made, and not all changes are bad. But I think one of the things missing in 2026 we've had back then was a little more social skills. A little more social skills in our society, a little more respect among us, a little more politeness and different things that perhaps were back there. Now, sometimes when we look back, we think we were the perfect generation, but can I say we were far from perfect? There was many a child, and I was one of them that got spanked every now and then, but still had a lot of issues. The board does not settle everything, nor does the belt. But I'm saying today there are some things that perhaps today that we find in 2026, and it's not just been this year, but it's been a gradual thing for many years. I don't think I would get very many arguments if I was to say America is lacking on social skills. We see this in our everyday lives. We see it in the workplace. We see it in the shopping places. We see it in the schools. We see it in the parks. We see it in the roadways. My. We see it on social media. We see it at the fast food services that we go to. We see it in many places, and let me tell you today, we see it even in the church. The church is supposed to be perfect, but we still see some of the issues there. And here's the thing, the tendency as we live in such an environment and as we live in such a culture, the tendency is to be transformed by that culture and by that environment that we live in. we spoke of this morning in Sunday school class, of Daniel, who was carried off to Babylon to captivity. And the intention of the king was to change their mindset and help them to be servants of Babylon. And it's the same thing with you and I. We live in this environment that we call today in 2026. We live in this culture, and if we're not careful, the lack of social skills will also be part of our lives. It's easy to do. It's easy to be that way. The tendency is an eye for an eye if we're not careful. An eye for an eye in our personal lives, an eye for the eye in our families, the eye for an eye in the church, and even in our driving. You cut me off, I'm cutting you off. Amen? I'll get ahead of you and slam my brakes on and see what you think about that. I know none of us have ever done anything we shouldn't do while we're driving. That person that honked at you behind you because you didn't get off on the green light immediately, you pulled out really slow. I'm just saying that it's easy to have that type of mindset because we're living in it consistently. It is our environment. It is the life that we're living in right now. And there's no pill that our society can take. There's nothing that can change everybody's mind. And so we're going to wake up in the morning, and it's going to be the same society, the same culture, the same lacking that they had the day before. Because, see, the only thing that really changes people's attitude and people's mind, the only thing that changes a person from the inside out is Jesus Christ. Amen? And the thing is, once we get Jesus, we got to continue to grow in Jesus. And it's easy to say I'm saved. It's easy to say I got Christ, yet act differently or act like the world. It's easy for those things to be like that in our life. See, the easiest thing I found is to go with the flow and be shaped like the culture if we're not careful. Well, everybody's doing it. The easiest thing is not to buck the system, but to go along with the system. The easiest thing is let your emotions go and not try to keep them in check. Let me know the flesh will run wild if you let it. The easiest thing is let the flesh have its desires. And so we live in a culture such that, but can I say this morning, as Christians, we should practice giving what our society needs. We should practice what we want the society to have. We should practice giving into the society what we want out of the society that we live in and the culture we live in. Well, turn with me to chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Listen, a while back we did a study on the Sermon on the Mount, and I know we covered a little bit of this material, but I felt led this morning to do this again. How many of you know practice makes perfect? The repeating of the word. I thought this morning I'm going to start learning and memorizing Scripture again. And I've learned that just because I said it once doesn't get it in here. So you go over and over and over again. Same thing with the Word of God. I believe it was Peter said, I want to stir up your mind in remembrance. And we need stirring again. Oftentimes when you've been in a place for a long time, you think, well, I've already preached that, done that. But I'm going to tell you there's a time that you need to start doing some things again. And so this morning, perhaps, that's one of these in Luke chapter 6, 27 through 38. Listen to what it says, but I say to you, these are totally opposite of the culture that we're living in today. Get that in your mind. The very people that we live among, this is totally opposite of what our culture's doing today. I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. But after that one, get even. No. And from him who takes away your cloak, if you're wearing one, Do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that of you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you and praise you. Lord, we just thank you for all, God, that you do in our lives. We thank you for your presence this morning in worship, communion, and prayer. And Lord God, today we pray that you'll just touch our hearts in the preaching of the word this morning, God, that you'll pour your spirit upon each one of us, God, in Jesus' name, amen. My key verse this morning is Luke 6:38. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with that, it shall be measured to you again." You know, this scripture has been implied many times over. If you've read this, or if you've heard it in preaching, many times you have heard it for monetary gains. It's talking about the many preachers will preach about you got to give in order to receive, and talking about money. I must confess this morning that this preacher has also quoted this verse in such a fashion. It's a verse of saying, hey, if you give so much, you're going to receive so much back. But can I tell you, for there is a principle of sowing and reaping within this thread of verses that we read this morning. Not just this verse, but there's a thread of sowing and reaping throughout those verses. Something to do with what we put in and what we're going to get out. Something of God's nature speaks of these things that are happening. See, there are plenty of scriptures that speak of God blessing those who give into his kingdom without using this particular verse. If you want to preach on tithing, there's a lot of verses to preach on about tithing. If you want to preach on about giving an offering, there's plenty of verses to give, preach on without using this particular verse. If we seek the meaning of this verse within the text that it is written, we find that Christ is speaking more than just monetary gain. More than just something that we get in return in money. Everybody likes a return in money, right? Hopefully, you invest it, you want something to come back. Why? Because we all like to spend it. We all want a return, but we know that this scripture has more to talk about than just that. And don't worry, I'm not preaching about tithing. I'm not preaching about offering. If you come here long enough, you know that I don't preach a bunch about that. I always figure a person's already determined whether they're going to give or not. But I also believe we ought to preach every now and then, but this is not one of those occasions. And everybody said, figured I'd get a hallelujah. But I want to look at two things this morning in this passage that I believe that God has pointed out that can be part of us. The first is the nature of the gift that's been spoke of, and the next is the reward of it. The nature of the gift is to be good, not evil. What we are to give, listen, if you want to know the nature of the gift that's being spoke of, is the nature of it is to be good and not evil. Now, you put that into our Christian life, and a lot of times I like things simple. That means what I'm giving somebody else needs to be good. Amen? And not evil. It's evil. It's easy to give an evil thing back. It's easy to retaliate. It's easy, but it takes strength. It takes patience. It takes control to give something good back. Good doesn't just happen. Amen? How many of you know the Bible says we are born with an evil imagination? Matter of fact, the Lord says, I'm going to wipe them all out because of the way they act. But what takes really, really, really control is to give a good gift. What we're talking about in these passages of scriptures is to give something good. Something good. Now, all of us like something good. Amen? How many? You know, when you get that gift and it's exactly what you want. Now, I've received some gifts and I've thought, what am I going to do with that? Amen? Anybody been there? I don't even use this type of stuff. But when it's something that fits my personality, something that fits my desire, something that I really like, I think that is a good gift. Amen? And it's usually people that know you that are able to give a good gift. That's why God gives you good gifts. It says every good gift, every good thing from heaven has came down from the Father above. Everything that we get that is good into our life has come from the Father up above, the wonderful gift giver. Because he knows exactly what you need. The nature of the gift that's been spoke of here is a good thing. We got to give a good thing. If you read the verse, you will note the gift being addressed remains the same. Everything of reply, everything that we are to give, it stays the same. It is to be good. It is to be a good gift. While the measure of that gift is given is what makes the difference. Now, listen, I love... You know, when you get something that's really tasty, you love a little more of that, don't you? And so someone bring you out a little bitty bow of it, you think, that's not near enough for me. I've been at restaurants, and they bring out this little dish. I remember, I shouldn't tell this on Brother Andrew, but I remember some shrimp they brought out on him one day, and the waitress said, oh, yeah, there's plenty. I don't think they was looking at how the size of the man that was ordering it. And you can ask Oliver, when they brought this little bitty shrimp plate out, you could see it on Andrew's face. That was not going to be enough. And I'm telling you, we can, but it was good. But see, the deal is the gift doesn't change. It's how much we give is what changes in the measuring of it. You can give a little good to somebody, but if you give a lot, it makes a difference. The measuring is what is different in the whole setting of the scripture. Jesus is encouraging the reader to give good gifts, not evil gifts. If you look at verse 27, he says, love your enemy. That's a good gift. If you look at verse 28, it says, bless them that curse you. That's a good gift. If you look at verse 29, turn the other cheek. In other words, and it talks about an insult. Now, I know none of you have ever been insulted in here before, but if we're insulted, we're supposed to turn the other cheek and not get all upset. And that doesn't mean after you do it one more time, I get to tear into you. But it's talking about the fact that we are to give a good gift and turn the cheek. How many have you figured out some people say some things they don't really mean? It comes out wrong or whatever it may be. In verse 30, it says give a good gift. And verse 35 summarizes everything. So we are to give a good gift, not an evil gift. And we are to determine the measure of that gift is what's going to determine what comes back into our lives. Can I tell you, there are some people that are good to certain people but are not good to other folks. Amen? And it's sad that can be even that way in a family. There's some parents that are good to some of the kids and not good to the other kids. But what's been spoke of is that of a Christian being good to everybody. Giving a good gift to everyone. Now, I know it's tough. But I want to tell you another thing about the nature of the gift. It is in our possession. In our possession. Can I tell you this morning, it's always good to own what you give away. Amen? It's always good to own what you give away. If I walk out and my white pickup's gone and someone said, well, so-and-so gave it to me, I'm going to say, they didn't have permission to give that. It's good to own what you give away. Even when you are husband and wife, it's good to be on the same page when you give something away. Amen? Because whether you like it or not, it's 50-50. It's always good, ladies, to get an agreement with a husband before you give some of their clothes away. Mm-hmm. I believe in my heart, a lot of times, I know of a couple that was really wanting to bless the church, and they paid for a roof on a church, but yet they put it on a credit card, and it literally became a curse to them because they couldn't keep up with the payments. They didn't own what they gave. When you put it on credit, you don't own what you gave. And it's good that it's in your possession. The nature of the gift that I'm talking about this morning, you're not going to hear this preacher say, hey, I want you to give $1,000 on the credit card because I know it's really not yours yet. And anything that we give, the nature of the gift that's been spoken of in the scripture is something that I possess, something that I have that I can give away, something that is truly mine. It's good to know what you can give and what you can't give. Can I tell you this morning that every Christian has things that they can give and things they can't give? Now, bear with me just for a moment. I can't give somebody salvation. Amen? My message, my job is not to give salvation. My job is to preach it. My job is to share it. Salvation can never come from Billy Snyder. And you can't give salvation either. You can't put a sword on one side and on the other side. You are now saved. You cannot do that. There's certain things that we cannot give away. I can't give the anointing away. I know there are some that say you can transfer it to wherever you want to believe, but I can't give it to you. Amen? I can't. You may feel the anointing for somebody that prays over you, but they're not giving. You're feeling what God is flowing through them. The anointing that comes in a person's life, it flows through a person when they pray for somebody. You can't give it away. I had somebody come to me one time in Campo, and they says, hey, I'm going to get over here. I'm gonna give you the anointing. And I said, I already have it. Well, that just blew his theology. But he was listening to some goofball out on the radio somewhere while he's driving a truck. The anointing. Talking about we possess, and some of those things that we possess, we cannot give away. And there are several things that we receive from the Lord that we cannot give. But at the same thing, there's some things that we can give away. There's some things in our life that we possess that we can give. And one of those, or some of those things that I just talk about it just for a moment this morning, is that things that I can give. Can I tell you this morning, I can give love. Amen? I can give that. That's something that I possess, and I control who I give that to. I'm able to give love. I can give time away. You know, that you think about it, you have a lot of time that you can regulate, and it's my ability to give time away. Those are things. You know, you think about that just for a moment. Some people just need a little time of our life. Amen? Some people just, hey, you may be busy, and you may have an interruption just like we had just now, and we can give time away. Amen? We got that. We've got that to be able to do. And some people just need some time with somebody to give an ear, to just listen for a moment. You know, the worst thing about men is that we try to solve problems. And I've learned after being married a while, sometimes I just need to listen. Amen? I don't need the solution. My daughters remind me of that all the time. Dad, I was just wanting to say I wasn't asking you to fix it. And so that's just sometimes what we need to do. And, you know, we got money to give. If God's blessed us, we're able to bless somebody else. God does that. We can set money aside. I've got one little slot in my budget that says to bless, that I put so much money every month in that we can bless somebody with. And we've got that ability. We can give kindness away. We can be kind to a person, and we can give a smile. It doesn't take a lot of effort to smile, amen? Sometimes, some of you, the only time you smile is when you're on your head. We can give a smile away. Sometimes that's all somebody needs. These are things that we possess. We're talking about good things that we can give, something that I own, something that's part of me that I'm able to give away. We can give a helping hand to somebody in a time of need. Amen. You don't have to pay for the whole thing, but you can be there to help at that moment. We can listen. This is the big one. We can actually give forgiveness. How many know forgiveness is free? It's something that we choose to do. I was at the district office this last Thursday. They handed me a book about 21 ways to forgive. And I haven't read that book, but all the ministers there, I think we better put 22 on there. But it's just a whole book of how we can give forgiveness away. You know, every one of us are going to have an opportunity to forgive somebody, and we can choose to forgive. Amen? It's something that we can give away. We can give mercy away. It's in our court to give mercy. That means I'm not looking for restitution. I'm not looking for some way you pay me back. I'm just giving you mercy. Can I tell you today that before you got saved, you were living in the mercy of God? God gave mercy to you every day. The Bible says His mercy renews every year. No, daily in our lives. We have mercy that we can give to somebody. Whether it be at the workplace, whether it be in the church, whether it be in the school, or whether it be in your home, mercy is something that we can give away. It's something that God can give us to give away. There's many other things that we possess in our life that's in our possession that are good gifts to other people. Politeness is something that we can give. See, I can give every one of these because God has given them to me to give to others. God has given them to me to pass on. Some things God has given me is just for me. But other things that God has given me is for somebody else, for that neighbor next door, for that one that despitefully uses me, for that one that talks behind our back. For that one, God has given me things that I can give to them. I don't have to respond in the culture that we're living in by the way they respond. God's given me gifts for this culture that I live in today. He's given me something that I can give to them. There's a principle here. I can give things away in the church to other people. I can give things away to my family members. I can give things away in my workplace. And I can even give things away at Walmart. And I can give them away even on the road when people are doing stupid stuff. Amen? Amarillo driving is just terrible. Wow. I've seen some things here lately and I thought, man, where is a policeman? But we can give what my deal is, what I'm expressing this morning, at these things that we possess, God says we can give to one another. We can give all these things. And what is the reward of it? We find it has a guaranteed, bountiful return investment. It says, give and it shall be given to you. This is the Lord's teaching. This is not my teaching, but this is the King's teaching talking about giving. Give, and it shall be given back to you. Listen, it may not be formed from the particular person that you gave it to, but it's going to come back somehow into your life. but it will come from somewhere. It may not be the one that you're nice to, but someone else is going to bring it back around. But at the same time, it could shape them in a way of learning to do things different. It is a reward. It's a principle. When it talks about back into your bosom, now we don't talk like that anymore. But it's talking about in a way that it is bountiful. It talks about plenty that comes back. When we learn, listen, church, when we learn to give into this community that we live in, when we learn to give these gifts that God has given us, when we learn to give good and not evil, there's something that God will abound back into our lives. It says it'll run over in the bosom. It's talking about abundance of things coming back in. Do I want to change something? I give. I've heard some preachers say, if you're broke, learn to give. Watch God multiply. It's the same thing. If you want to change this culture, we start giving kindness into it. We give smiles into it. We give politeness into it. Why? Because it's going to change some people's lives. But it's also going to bring reward into yours. Galatians 6, 7, and 10 says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Did you get there? Whatever he sows, that he will reap. That is a principle that has been on earth ever since the creation. It has not changed. Long as we have the sun going up and the moon coming down, and long as we have all these principles going on in life, there's always that principle of sowing and reaping. If I want to be a bitter old thing, I'm going to reap bitter old stuff back at me. If I want to be a kind person, I'm going to receive kindness back in my life. If I want people to forgive me, I need to forgive people. Because the very thing that I sow is what I'm going to reap. If I want people to judge me, if I don't want people to judge me, I need to quit judging people. If I want mercy, I've got to be a person that is merciful. All these things have principles. I didn't set the principles up. Man didn't set the principles up. God set the principles up, and he says, this is how the thing works. You put in a seed of corn, you're going to reap some corn. Amen? That's a principle. You put in some weeds, you're going to reap some weeds. But the principle is what I sow is going to come back at me. So if I sow, it makes a huge difference. It says, for he sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall what? Reap. Let us not grow weary in what? Giving good gifts. Being polite when others not. Oh, let us not grow weary in sharing good things with people that we have, that we possess. Let us not grow weary because it says in due season. You know what that means? It talks about when you put the seed in the ground. You know, a lot of farmers plant their wheat in the fall, and they water it, and they just continue to plant it. Now, when June comes around, that wheat is ready for harvest, in harvest season. And what God says, keep planting, keep sowing, keep giving the good gifts, regardless of how bad the winter is, regardless of how dry it seems. It says, but in due season, hallelujah, due season, you're going to reap what you've been putting out there, and God will bring a harvest into your life, and it will be abundant of a harvest. Amen? You put one little seed, listen, you put one little seed in the ground, and it brings out a stalk that has several seeds. The harvest. It's all in the measure of our hand of how much we're going to receive back. That's why it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Who's that? That's us. Let us do good for all, especially the household of faith. Can I tell you another thing about this reward? It is supplied by man. Now, hang with me just for a minute on that. Let me explain what I'm meaning. It shall come through man. Can I tell you this morning, God is the source, and he has resources. Those good things that we have, God has sources or resources that he brings through. I remember a few years back, I was working at, well, I was working in Boise City at the parts store. I was putting 55 to 60 hours a week in. I was also pastoring the church in Campo. And then we have our kids. They were awful young then, and family and all this. And we finally got a vacation to go up to the mountain. And I was just totally exhausted, wore out for a 30-something-year-old man at that particular time. I guess I was around 38. And I was just totally exhausted, and I was just trying to do my best to please God and to work and giving here and giving there. And I bumped into a guy, and I didn't tell him a pastor. I don't usually tell people I'm a pastor because it changes the way they want to talk. But I was there in that campground at South Fork Fun Valley, and this man invited me. I think I went to a Bible study or something like that. And when he got ready to leave, he swung by our campsite. And he says, I've been told by the Lord to give you $100. And I thought, wow, I'll take it. And he put that in my hand, but he also put a cassette tape in my hand at the very same time. And that cassette tape had a message on that about just serving God for who God is. And it really ministered to my heart and my soul. And I had been pouring into people's lives and working overtime, it seemed like, and burning the candle at both ends. But God took a moment to send a man to bless me and to encourage me. What am I saying today? What you sow is what you're going to reap. God has people you never think of that's going to pour into your life, that's going to show you mercy, that's going to show you grace, because you are showing the same good gift out there somewhere. God does amazing things when we will but yet just use the gifts that we possess and bless other people with them, because that's how God works. Listen, I'm in control. Another thing that we understand is the reward. I'm in control of the measure. Now think about this, but when we talk about the reward, I'm in control of how much of the reward will be. Now, if you know me, now don't get excited. I normally carry at least $100 all tucked in and really hid way back in my wallet, just in case I need some cash. I can't get my credit cards to work or my debit, and I got some cash to get home on. There's been times that God says, slip that out. I said, nope. He'll say, slip it out. He did it to me the other day. And I'll pass that on. But I can't tell you how many times I've took that $100 that I've creased and I've made it look so nice. And I've took it and I've put it in the hand of somebody else. And within days, it comes back sometimes more. I'm just saying there's a principle of hearing what God wants you to do. And I'm not saying everybody needs to slip one another $100. I'm just saying it's the ideal of the sowing. And if I could have tucked that in, the other night when I did that, I tucked it in. But I said, okay, I got to get it out. And I'm driving the Jeep and I'm thinking I may need it. Chuck knows what I'm talking about. Angela does too with a Jeep. You never know when they're going to break down. But I put it in, and I got back twice as much. And I'm not giving you the, hey, put in 1,000, get 2,000. I'm giving you the principle of sowing and what God does in a life that will sow good things into people's lives. And a lot of things that we have to sow are free. But the measure that I put in determines how much comes back. A farmer knows this. When they sow the whole field, and they know that if they just sow a little field, they're only getting a little harvest. But if you sow the whole thing, you will find that the field will come back in abundance. So it's measured by how much I give. God is looking and seeing. Give a little, get a little. Live a life of giving, live in a life of abundance. And again, I'm not talking about money this morning. I'm talking about giving good gifts to people. Every time. Does it take a moment? It does. Is it hard sometimes? Yes, it is. Because some people will challenge you right where you are. They'll challenge you at the very core of where you hurt the most. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? Some get to you and you're thinking, man, it is hard. But I'm saying today, if we learn the principle that spoke of here, it will make a difference. I believe as Christians, we can change the culture by just giving good gifts. And those good gifts can give us inlet. Luke 6:31 says this, and I end with the scripture. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. How do I want to be treated? If I fail, what I want people to do? The message reads it like this. Here's a simple rule of thumb behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. It's all about how do I want to be treated? Treat people like you would want them to treat you. I know it's difficult and it's hard sometimes, but I tell you, God, Christ is the one that spoke this. He's the one that told us. I'm going to tell you this morning that you can get hurt in church, but the way we respond has a huge difference. You know, sometimes it takes a moment to get our marbles. Amen? Because the flesh is so strong. It is. Listen, I've been there. I'll be there again. But when God finally gets a hold of it, He says, give a good gift. Give a good gift. Give a good gift. Give a good gift. Because see, the good gift is what He's looking for out of His children. The good gift is what our culture needs today. That person, I tell you, I go to fast foods, they take my order, they won't even look me in the eye and say, thank you, sir. Well, my reason, that's bad customer relationship. So I say, well, thank you. Now, I can say thank you to someone at Chick-fil-A, and they'll say, have a blessed day or something. I can't remember what all they say, but I'm just going to tell you, we don't have to respond. We can change the way we give a good gift back. Amen? That's our job. We are here as ambassadors of Christ. That means we represent our King when we're out there. We represent our King when we're in here. Amen? That's who God wants us to be. And I believe, this preacher believes, that when we represent the King, it will break open conversations that we can have about the King and have a moment of conversation with them. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to ask you today, who needs a good gift from you? Amen. Who needs a good gift from you? We are all good about birthdays and different things. How about who needs a good gift? Does your neighbor need a good gift from you? Does somebody in the church need a good gift from you? I just believe God wants us to give them. Amen. Do you need to give somebody mercy? You need to give somebody some forgiveness? I'm telling you, we all get there. Let it be what God wants us to do. Amen. Father, today we thank you. Lord, we're thankful for the passage of Scripture that challenges God. It is a big challenge, Lord, to be able to respond in such a way, God, because there are some difficult situations in the environments that we live in, the culture we live in today, God. But Lord, may we be guided to be able to give good gifts, God, into these situations that are difficult in our lives. God, and I know some in here right now are struggling in that area to give good gifts. But God, I pray that you'll just help them, Father. Oh, help them, Father, today. Oh, help them, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And God, may your blessing, may your reward come back to them tenfold, Father. Oh, that you'll just pour your Spirit upon them. Now, Father, may you bless each person here this morning. Pour your Spirit upon them throughout the week, we pray. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen.